Welcome to episode number 88.
It's time for Road Trekking, the podcast. Traveling North America in a small motor home. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of road trekking reporters.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Road Trekking, the RV Lifestyle Podcast. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this show is for you. Here, we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering interesting places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So welcome. We are honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. And this episode of Road Trekking the RV Podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, bringing you a large inventory of Class Bs from three locations. By Campers Inn, the nation's largest family-owned RV dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast. By Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV. By Verizon, the nation's largest, most reliable 4G LTE network. By Good Sam, the world's most popular RV organization with over 1.6 million members, now celebrating its 50th year. And by Allstays, the internet's number one RV and camping app since 2010. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the podcast. And this is a jam-packed show for you this week. We're going to talk about a lot of things that everybody seems to be interested in, the hot topics on all of the RV forums these days. Solar power. We're going to talk about what you need to know about it, how it will enhance your RV experience. We start some interviews this week about various RVers that we meet out there on the open road, and we're going to introduce you to several of them that we spent some time with in Nashville over the weekend, including a single woman who lives full-time now in her class RV as she travels the country after retiring from her job as a missionary in Africa. Plus, we got lots of reader comments and questions and RV news of the week and a fun bucket list report from Nashville for you. So all that's coming up in the program. Right now, though, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
We are coming today from the state park that was voted in, I think, the top three in the country, the beautiful Henderson Beach State Park on the Emerald Coast of Florida's Panhandle.
And it is beautiful. Even though the sky is not blue, it's cloudy. The sand is just beautifully white and the green. It's pretty.
We're sitting in our Road Trek CS Adventurous XL. We have the side door open. We have the back doors open. And that beautiful, fresh, salty air is blowing through the rig. And it's quite pleasant in here.
It is.
We're in a kind of a day spot area, so we can overlook the water. That's one of the secrets that we have found about camping. You know, even if you don't stay in the campground, you can day camp. Our friend Camp Skunk taught us that. Find the most beautiful places around and just spend the day there.
And this is a camping area that is very, very hard to get into. You have to plan ahead by about a year.
By literally about a year. The Henderson Beach State Park, it's near Destin and Miramar, Florida, on the Emerald Coast. It's this. If you're a regular listener, you know this is one of our most favorite places in the country. We love the beaches here. We love the climate. It's just a terrific place. And if you haven't stayed, Henderson Beach State Park in Florida.
And we love it because it's 4 hours from where our oldest son and his family is.
We'll be heading up there over the weekend because our second oldest grandson, Nick, he's the one that we did the high school football video on last year. We made, how many trips down did we make?
Seven.
Seven trips down from Michigan to Southwest Georgia.
In a couple of months.
In a 2 months period of time.
Almost four.
And we flew a couple of times too. We didn't miss many of those games. He's graduating this weekend.
So. And we're delighted that we'll be able to be there.
Yep. So, but that's another excuse for us to visit the Emerald Coast and have some fun. We had a lot of fun in Nashville this past weekend.
That was an unexpected surprise.
Yep. It met some great people. We'll introduce them to you a little later on in the program, and we'll tell you some of the fun things to see in Nashville. Nashville's a great spot to go for two or three days. It's
Yes.
I wouldn't call it an off-the-beaten-path report because it's a very popular tourist area, but we had just a heck of a lot of fun there, and I think everybody else will too. So we'll talk about that later on, as well as your questions and much more. But right now, time to put my wife, Jennifer, to work.
Is it a gadget? A recipe? A tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
This week's tip is about cooking and serving sizes. I've shared before that I like to prepare as many meals ahead of time as possible. That means less time spent in the RV on meal prep while Mike and Bo are out there having fun outside. So we try to spend an afternoon at home before each trip planning meals and then cooking as much as possible. One meal that's really easy to make ahead of time is meatloaf, whether you want to use bison, beef, ground chicken, ground turkey, whatever you want to make.
I love meatloaf.
Just whatever ingredients you want to put into that meatloaf, mix it all up. And if you want to take 3 pounds of whatever meat you choose, mix it up how you normally do it. I like to divide it into quarter pounds, and then you get a 12-section muffin pan. And so you put your 3 pounds of hamburger or whatever you want to use in there, divide it up, and you cook it in small portion sizes.
Meatloaf muffins.
Meatloaf muffins, yeah. You thought it was kind of weird the first time I gave it to you. But you heat the oven to about 350 degrees, and you cook it for 25 minutes, let it cool, and then you can put it in Ziploc bags or whatever you'd like to put it in. And it is so easy. Freeze it, and then bring it out when it's time to eat. One is enough for me. Mike, he would have two if he can get away with it.
Mikey likes it.
Well, Mikey likes everything. But so if you bake that ahead of time, freeze it, and then bring it out as you need it. You can even crumble, if it's like bison or whatever you want, over a salad and eat it that way. But it just cuts down on work. And whatever you can do at home to do ahead of time so that you don't have all that work when you're out on the road.
So you use a muffin pan or a cupcake pan. They make them cupcakes in it, and you make meatloaf cupcakes or meatloaf muffins?
It's quarter-pound serving sizes, and a lot of people that have been to Weight Watchers or different programs to try to control how much they eat. It seems like the older we get, there isn't a lot of mercy. Few people can eat whatever they want to eat. But this is a way for portion control, and it's very convenient, very easy. Cook it up ahead of time, and then we just put it in the freezer of our Road Trek CS Adventurous, and we are set to go because we have a nice, great big freezer.
Yeah, it is. It's good. We might have one tonight. I like that. I like it when you crumple it over salad. I think that's really a nice meal.
It is, and you can use ground turkey, ground chicken, whatever you'd like.
Well, thanks for that one. That's a great one. Jennifer's Tip of the Week brought to you by Good Sam, the world's most popular RV organization, now celebrating its 50th year. I've got an email website address for you to go to. Ready, everybody? GoodSam.com/roadtrekking. GoodSam.com/roadtrekking. You want to go there. If you have not yet joined Good Sam, this is a great opportunity to do so. For $25, you can buy a year's membership. And the reason this is such a great deal, if you go to GoodSam.com/roadtrekking, you can then get a free night's stay, a coupon for that amount of money for a free night's stay at one of the many Good Sam RV parks around the country. There are over 2,100 of them, campgrounds, RV parks. And even after you get your free $25 stay at them, whenever you go to a Good Sam RV park or a Good Sam campground, you can save 10% by showing them that new membership card you got by going to GoodSam.com/roadtrekking. But wait, as they say on late night TV, there's more. Because you also can save on fuel at Flying J truck stops and gas stations all across North America. I mean, we all need fuel. There's a Pilot station just up the road. Chances are, wherever you happen to be right now, show that Good Sam card. You get a discount when you buy fuel. And then one more thing that is great, the official RV accessory retailer for Good Sam Club is Camping World. And you can save with your Good Sam Club on your Camping World purchases as well. There are Camping World Supercenters and Camping World stores, again, across North America. Some of the savings with your Good Sam card, up to 30%. So you can do this. All you have to do is go to goodsam.com/roadtrekking. Go there. $25 is your membership fee, special price for them, and you get a free night's campground stay up to that amount from any of their many different Good Sam affiliated clubs. What a great opportunity that is.
Questions. You've got them. Mike and his network of road trekking reporters have the answers. Here's one of our listener RV questions of the week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. This is Michael from Missouri. I have a question on just how much solar power and battery storage is really needed. Road Trek provides a wide range of options for both solar power and battery storage. But how do we calculate just how much is needed? What's really needed to run the AC for a few hours every day off-grid? Or if AC is not going to be an issue, how much is needed to run the lights, the fridge, and other onboard systems to charge up a laptop? I think you get the idea. Any guidelines to assist us who are thinking about a new road trek or perhaps upgrading an older one would be much appreciated and very helpful.
Well,
also, thanks a lot for all the podcasts.
Well, thank you.
I've learned a lot from the two of you and look forward each week to a new one. So thanks a lot and safe travels.
Well, thank you, Michael. Well, Jennifer is a big booster. She loves our solar power. We've had it now for, it's our second road trek. We had it in the E-Trek, and we now have 650 watts up on the roof of this unit, and we love it.
I wouldn't want to have an RV without it.
But, Michael, let me explain a couple things about it, just from the question, the way you asked the question, because it's a little more complicated than just having some solar panels and then having power to run all these appliances, because what solar does, and this is kind of solar 101, is it takes the sun's energy and it converts it into DC, or direct current battery power, to charge your batteries on your RV. So think of it as a battery charger, like the kind you would maybe have in your garage at home. Think of the solar panels and the solar system you have as a battery charger that works pretty much any time the sun is out. Today's panels actually even work in cloudy weather. They're not as efficient as they are in bright sun, but they will even charge a little bit during cloudy weather as well. So what happens is the solar panels converts a portion of the sun's energy into DC electricity, and then this electricity, or actually specifically the current, travels to your battery via wire, usually copper wire, and the battery stores the current as amperage, similar to, say, a gas tank storing gasoline. The battery is designed, to produce voltage, which when you combine it with amperage, which kind of pushes it through, gives it power, and then you can use the battery power to operate devices that are connected to the battery, but not AC. AC is alternating current. That's the kind you have in a house. So you got to remember that you're getting DC power into your battery. It's receiving and storing current from the solar module. The battery is then being charged, or many people say it'll be topped off. Now you ask, how long can you run your appliances? I hate to sound like I'm equivocating here, but it all depends. It all depends on what you're trying to run, how many amps your load consumes per hour, how large your battery bank is. Now, how do you get that DC current into an AC usable current for many of the appliances you're talking about? Well, that's where you need an inverter. And you need, the bigger the inverter, the more watts that inverter is, the more things you can run off of it. I'm going to send you a link, or I'll tell you, if you go to the show notes for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/88, the show notes, I will have a really handy solar power usage calculator that's from a group called Go Power. And this will then recommend what size battery banks, because that's the other thing you got. How many batteries do you have for the loads that you use? And this solar calculator is a great web tool that will help you come up with a system. And I think you'll find it very handy. But in our case, our batteries are always being topped off by the sun. And we are what we like to say energy independent. We have 650 watts of power that then is sent down into our batteries, and we have a large lithium battery base, And we can run pretty much anything we want in this unit for hours at a time, including the air conditioner. But we have a very huge system with those 650 watts of solar and, in our case, 32 lithium-ion batteries. You don't need that much. But I'll tell you, there is no system out there that will run air conditioning all night long on batteries. You can get 4, 5, maybe 6 hours, depending on the humidity, but no more than that. Air conditioner is the biggest single drain that you will find. However, if you run the air for a couple hours, maybe, and then you know, you've got your refrigerator, you've got your TV, and you're really charging your computer, you can go a long time with solar, if you, depending on how many panels you have and how many watts of solar you have. It's impossible to give you a great estimate, except to say we're pretty much independent of energy. We can go and boondock for days at a time, really. But nobody runs the air conditioner all night long. You can't do it. The system, it just takes too much power. Go to that the show notes, roadtrekking.com/88. Look at GoPower, the calculator, and you can figure out how to solar size your RV and find what you want there. So hope this helps, and I think that's a great resource that you'll find very, very handy. Okay, here's somebody that's got a tip for us, Jennifer, and it's too bad we didn't, we could have used this as a tip all by itself, but then it wouldn't have been Jennifer's tip of the week.
Oh, rats. It would have made it easier for us,
it
huh?
It would have made it easier for you, yeah. This is from a listener named Tom, and Tom passes along a tip. One of the other things that everybody seems to ask about when the RV is, how do you make your coffee? What do you make your coffee in? Our case, we use just, Jennifer doesn't drink coffee. I drink 2 big cups every morning, and I use the Keurig single cup. I think it was $100. We got it at Bed Bath & Beyond. But for coffee purists, they just kind of, like wine purists, they kind of wrinkle their little noses up at it. For coffee purists, they want something a little better. Let me just say a whole lot better. Here's Tom with what he uses. Hi, Tom.
Hello, thanks for- Mike and Jennifer. This is Tom from Warren, Michigan, with a tip about camper coffee. There have been many suggestions about how to make coffee while camping or RVing, ranging from old-fashioned percolators and French presses to drip coffee makers, Keurigs, and simple pour-overs. But my favorite method, the one that I use at home and while camping, is a mocha pot such as the Bialetti Mocha Express or one of the less expensive knockoffs. These stovetop espresso makers render a bold European style of coffee that comes very close to steam-processed espresso, but without all the fuss and gadgetry. There are no filters, packets, or throwaway cups, and only the used coffee grounds need to be disposed of at the end of the process. Cleanup requires but a quick rinse and a wipe with a paper towel. For those that are unfamiliar with them, there are 3 things you need to know in order to use a mocha pot to its full potential. First, the size of the pot is not based on a typical American 5 or 6 ounce cup, but on espresso cups that are only about 2 ounces in size. The 6 cup model is the most common, holds 10 ounces of water, and makes enough to fill a large coffee mug with espresso strength coffee. I usually make a batch and split it between 2 mugs and then add hot water to fill the mugs Americano style. The result is still very strong and flavorful, but not as heady as full-blown espresso. The grind of the coffee is also important. Some European coffee companies actually package a fine mocha grind just for these coffee makers. A regular drip grind coffee will work, but an espresso grind will block the holes in the internal filter. At home, I like to grind my own coffee, but when camping, I like to use IKEA dark roast pre-ground coffee. It comes in vacuum-packed bricks of about 1/2 pound each, which is a good size because the coffee doesn't go stale before I use it. Finally, a mocha pot works best when the water is boiled slowly, and I mean very slowly, letting it flow up through the coffee grounds as ploddingly as possible. To slow things down, the pot can be placed on the burner in an offset way so that only a part of it is over the flame. As for coffee condiments, I like mine with cream and sugar. If camping without refrigeration, I've found that a squeezed bottle of sweetened condensed milk does a great job and will last a week. For a real treat, I bring along a jar of a Detroit area product that I'm sure that you're familiar with, and that's Sanders Classic Caramel Ice Cream Topping. It makes a great caramel latte by just stirring in a teaspoon or two.
All right, caramel espresso. That is much too complicated for me, Tom, but, you know, I just drink my coffee black and strong.
I'm not going to work that
hard for you. I hate to tell you.
You're not going to do it.
Well, maybe I'd take up coffee if I... It sounds like it sounds good.
It's. I looked it up, and I found one on Amazon. It's the original Bialetti Mocha Express, a six-cup stovetop espresso maker. And it's pretty cool. They're not that much money. I thought this was going to be like a really expensive thing. It's only like $32, so I'll put a link up to it. But the idea of putting Sanders is like a Detroit institution for ice cream, and they make the best hot fudge.
They do make very good toppings.
Caramel toppings. So, well, thank you, Tom. I know my coffee snobs out there, and there are a bunch of them in the audience, will appreciate that because I'm always being this kind of looked down on for my simple Keurig K-cup that I throw in a couple of grounds of dark black coffee and make it strong so I can chew it, and they just kind of wrinkle their nose at me. But I got to try your coffee. I do like good coffee, and maybe you're starting me on a path I should not go down, but we'll try it. Hey, if you'd like to be a part of the podcast, we love this section where we take listener comments, listener suggestions and tips, and listener questions. Here's how.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment.
Look on the right side of mikesroadtrekking.com blog and click the send voicemail button. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
Well, this part of the podcast is brought to you by Van City RV in St. Louis and their partner dealerships, Creston RV in Kalispell, Montana, and Wagon Trail RV in Las Vegas, Nevada, bringing you the largest inventory of Class Bs from three locations. And all three have this great fly and drive program. So you shop for the RV that you want. You get the best price. You can work it on the phone. You can work it on the internet. And then you make your deal with either Van City or Creston or Wagon Trail RV. And then you get on an airplane. You fly there. They will pick you up at the airport. Then they'll reimburse you up to $500 towards your airfare. And then they take you to the dealership. Your RV is waiting for you. It's fully prepared for travel, and you can begin your adventure right from there, complete with full tanks of fuel and propane. Here's Dan, the van man, who offer up some late specials for us this week. How you doing, Dan?
Thanks, Mike. This week we have some tremendous discounts on our in-stock leisure travels and new Chinooks. You can check those out at VanCityRV.com. Also, June 16th through the 18th, Van City RV will be celebrating their 46th anniversary. You can come by and check out the new units. We'll have the new Leisure Travel Wander on display. We'll also have some of the factory reps here to answer your questions. So give us a call at 1-800-467-3905 or check us out at VanCityRV.com.
Time now for RV basic training. Tips, tricks, and how-to info to make you a happy camper.
All right. Well, we are pretty excited about RV basic training. We started this last week, and this is a place and a chance for us to sort of go over the basics of RV travel. Last week, we talked about the differences between Class A, Class B, and Class C motorhomes. And I heard from a lot of you who appreciated that, thought they keep hearing people bandy about those terms. They didn't really understand what the differences were. So it tells me we're on the right track for this RV basic training. We've got a question that a listener called in. A listener named Howard phoned this in and asked us these questions. And this is a great one for us to address this issue of RV basic training. So here's Howard.
Hi, my name is Howard, and this is the second podcast I've listened to your show. I'm glad that you have started the section about basic RV. Next spring, my wife and I are planning to travel up and down the East Coast for 6 months. We are debating whether to get a 21-foot Class C motorhome or a 21-foot trailer. I have driven a vehicle up to 26 feet, but have never pulled a trailer. If we get a trailer, which will be about 4,000 pounds, not sure which vehicle to get to pull it. We're debating whether to get a Jeep with a 5.7 Hemi engine, or GM Traverse, or a Tahoe, or a Dodge Durango, or even a pickup of a Dodge Ram 1500 or 2500. Any advice you can give would definitely be appreciated. Thank you.
Well, I think appreciate that. Thank you so much for calling it in. And let's talk about towables. That's the category we're talking about. These are the travel trailers. And these are the ones everybody thought of with the Airstream. And now there's so many different travel trailers out there. Ultralights. We've had one great experience with one. We actually got one and used it a couple of years ago on a family vacation.
Yes, and everything worked out terrific. We pulled a travel trailer with our road trek.
We did it. We pulled it all across the country to Colorado and then up and down the Rocky Mountains for about 2 weeks. And we had a ball with this thing. I actually forgot I was even pulling it. Now, what makes that possible is huge advances in travel trailers, these ultralights. You're talking about one now that weighs about 4,000 pounds, which is a minuscule amount compared to what they used to weigh. I can tell you now that since Road Trek has been acquired by the Irwin Heimer Group of North America, they're about to get into the towable markets, and they have an ultralight that is so light you can pull it with a Honda Civic. So these ultralight machines and this new engineering is amazing. Now, you mentioned several different tow vehicles. Whatever you do, make sure you first get what's known as a brake controller. And there are some people, I'm amazed, that actually don't have them. And I don't know how you can even have a brake controller. Uses the brakes on your vehicle to also activate the brakes on the trailer. There are some people who actually drive these things without them, and that will make it very easy for you. The other thing is we used sway bars on ours, and that's kind of an option when you get your hitch set for it. You want to have sway bars, and it really keeps it nice and steady down the road.
I know that was something that Chad insisted that we get, and it was worth it. You didn't seem to have any problems.
Yeah, Chad Neff from American RV is the guy who hooked us up with all of that, and he said, you got to have these, and they are these. They are little these bars that run between the trailer, little iron bars, and the hitch on the vehicle you're towing it with, and they just make it much more stable. I actually drove up and down the Rockies, didn't even know I was towing a vehicle. I would look in my rearview mirror every now and then and say, boy, is that guy close? Oh, wait, that's my trailer. But here's the best thing, because you've talked about several different vehicles, and it's a lot more complicated than you think, because here's what you need to know. You need to know several different types of weight ratings. There's trailer weight ratings. There's sometimes known as tow ratings or tow limits. And that's the kind of stuff that you want. You want to know how much the unit is going to weigh when it's loaded up, when you've got water in it, when you've got all the stuff you're carrying in it. So I'm going to direct you to, I think, the experts on towables, and that is TrailerLife.com. TrailerLife, one word, .com. They have several trailer towing guides that are available. These are downloadable car towing guides, and you can find all of the guides. They've had them every year going back to 1999 in PDF format. So you can download these, packed with setup tips, what equipment you need, a full list of every model year's towing enabled vehicles, so you can look at the units that you're considering. And these guides will really help you in vehicle towing for your camper, for your RV travel trailer, whether you're getting a fifth wheel and much more. So these guides are what you want to look at, and they give you lots to study. So to get them, just go to the show notes page for this episode, and that's roadtrekking.com/88. Scroll down till you see the RV basic training section, and then you'll be there. And I'll have links to both a trailer towing guide and how to choose the right tow vehicle, the two guides that TrailerLife.com have put out that are really great and they'll help you out. So I hope that helped you out with this week's edition of RV Basic Training. This part of the podcast brought to you by Campers Inn. Campers Inn is the nation's largest family-operated RV dealership, 15 locations on the East Coast. These guys have been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years now. That is an eternity when it comes to the RV industry. In that 50 years, these guys have consistently had award-winning RV sales and RV service. Equally as important as getting a good deal. In fact, I'd say even more important is having good, ethical, honest service. And that's what Campers Inn is known for. I said earlier, they've been family-owned since 1966. and you will find they treat you like family. In their 15 dealerships across the country, they have thousands of RVs of every size, every type that you want, all at the very best prices. And they have certified, trained service personnel who can work on each manufacturer's brand. Their staff has years and years of RV knowledge. The history of the place is just fascinating. It started in 1966. Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons, Bob and David and Jeff, literally invested their family's life savings to buy four folding tent campers, and they sold them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts. Their dream was to start a hometown dealership where every customer felt like family and became a customer for life. Well, it's 50 years later now, and three generations later, Campers Inn, the nation's largest family-operated dealership, as I said, 15 locations all across the East Coast. You want to check them out. Just go to campersinn.com/roadtrekking. Now, I want you to go to that address because they have a terrific, terrific offer. It's just a free contest. You want to use the special code name camping to get into it, camping. And you have all these great prizes that you are eligible to win. They're going to give it and announce it on August 1st. So go to that address for Campers Inn. Check them out, campersinn.com/roadtrekking. We're delighted to have them as the sponsors of our RV Basic Training segment.
News.
Mike's got news.
RV news, travel news, tips and trends about the small motorhome lifestyle.
Here's the road trekking news of the week.
Okay, where do you think the worst roads in the country are? And conversely, the best roads. Jennifer, where do you think the worst roads are?
Michigan.
You're absolutely right.
Really?
Absolutely right.
No, we have the worst roads.
We have the worst roads. We absolutely do. There has been a Gallup study on that they've asked and to find the worst roads in the country. And the worst roads, 35% of the people that were surveyed say Michigan. These are the people who are least satisfied with their roads and highways. Second state is Rhode Island. Where do you think the best roads are?
California?
No.
I don't know.
They have all those earthquakes.
Oh, that's true. So probably out west.
Well,
where you don't have salt on the roads quite so much.
North Dakota, which does have salt.
Oh, yeah, they do have salt. Maybe they use dirt.
Their residents, 81% of their residents were happy.
Well, they're not overpopulated.
Followed by Wyoming and Utah and Kansas. So my friend Greg Gerber at RV Industry News took a look at this survey, and he links them all. Worst states: Michigan, Rhode Island, Hawaii, West Virginia, Louisiana, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, New York, and Mississippi. The top states: North Dakota, Wyoming, Utah, Kansas, South Dakota, Idaho, Nevada, Montana, Minnesota, and Arizona. And
that does it. We got to move west.
We do. I've been trying to tell you.
And we don't have to buy rim protection.
And Greg Gerber took a look at this, and he says, well, why is this important? And it's important because it shapes recreation travel plans. So this is a big deal for these states to come out either really good like this or really bad. And I can attest, I think we've traveled through 28 states now in 4 years, and Michigan by far and away is the worst of all of the roads that we've traveled. I would add Ohio to that only because we drive I-75 a lot south. And I-75 in Ohio, the whole route of it has been under construction for like 4 years. Can you tell if there is anything getting better there?
I don't think so. I just don't know. Ohio used to have good roads, and now it's just a construction zone.
I think it's just I-75. I think probably the rest of the state has to be better, but that's the part we drive a lot, and it's just dreadful. I ran off the road. They've got all this construction, two very narrow lanes with no markings on the side where the road ends or the lanes end, and
pet
it was
peeve.
Pouring rain.
Pet peeve when they don't paint those white lines.
Yep,
to show you where the road ends.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Ohio didn't show up that bad, but if they had measured interstates, I-75 in Ohio, the whole state has been under construction to that stretch for 4 years, and I can't see any improvement. None in 4 years. It's crazy. All right. Hey, another big story that broke this week, and you've heard us talk about many of the national park tourists who do such stupid things with animals. We call them tourons, combining moron and tourist. Well, boy, we've got one now. I've got a story, and I'll link it. All these stories, of course, are linked in our RV News of the Week section. But there was a baby bison that had to be euthanized this week. The bison, you know, is our new national mammal. But that designation doesn't save the species from the resounding stupidity of humans. Last week, did you see this story, Jennifer? Last week, tourists at Yellowstone National Park saw a bison calf in the park. And I wish we knew who these people were. They didn't identify them. They need to be shamed. So they saw this little bison calf, and they got so worried about it being alone that they got out, picked it up, and put it in the trunk of their car. Now, to be somewhat kind to them, they were sincerely compassionate for this little calf, and they wanted to take it to a park ranger to help the animal. But it was such a stupid, wrong thing to do. Yellowstone has confirmed this in a detailed post. They noted under the circumstances that because of what these idiots did, they had to euthanize the calf. Here's their statement. They said, interference by people can cause mothers to reject their offspring. And in this case, park rangers tried repeatedly to reunite the newborn bison calf with the herd. These efforts failed. The bison calf was later euthanized because it was abandoned and causing a dangerous situation by continually approaching people and cars along the roadway. So these tourists, they got them. They got a $110 initial fine, but the investigation is ongoing. You know, a lot of people on Facebook are really upset about why couldn't the calf have been cared for, sent to a facility that had cared for it. But bison, you know, there's a lot of other things here. Bison are a potential carrier of a bacterial disease, which can pass to from infected animals to healthy livestock and even humans. And federal regulations aimed at stopping the spread of that disease really gave these guys at the park few options. Park officials continue to explain it. They said in order to ship the calf out of the park, it would have had to go through months of quarantine to be monitored for this disease, brucellosis, I think it's called, brucellosis. And that there's no approved quarantine facilities existing at this time. We don't have the capacity to care for a calf that's too young to forage on its own, nor is it the mission of the National Park Service to rescue animals. Our goal is to maintain the ecological processes of Yellowstone. Even though humans were involved in this case, it's not uncommon for bison, especially young mothers, to lose or abandon their calves. These animals typically die of starvation or predation. Yeah, well, nature's cruel, but people sure seem to make it worse.
A city people. I mean, even deer, the does drop their fawns and they leave them.
They leave them for like 24 hours, and they have no scent, and few of them are ever bothered by predators, but you still find people going, oh, there's an abandoned fawn. They're not really abandoned. The mother's nearby. It's part of the whole process of nature. People just don't leave it alone, do they?
It's hard. They're good-hearted, but they're uninformed.
Yeah, I guess that's, you're kinder to them. I call them morons, or tourons, as it is. All right, one more story from our RV News of the Week. And this one is good news. Good news at the pump. Low gas prices are now predicted for the rest of the year, throughout the 2016 Woo-hoo. Travel season. Yes, prices at the pump lower this summer than even they were last year. It's about 50 cents cheaper than it was last summer, according to Gas Buddy.
In Michigan, our gas will cost more because they have to have money to fix the roads.
Which they don't do. Where does that money go?
That money goes everywhere.
Not
everywhere
for the roads.
Except for the roads.
Well, anyway.
Oh, well.
That was two stories ago. But anyway, gas is cheaper in most places around the country. GasBuddy.com is the app that a lot of us use to find the best prices, and it's 50 cents cheaper than it was last summer, and last summer was a good year. So they're saying that summer prices are probably going to be the cheapest that they've been in 10 years. This according to the senior petroleum analyst with Gas Buddy, who is comparing overall seasonal averages. U.S. drivers have saved nearly $12 billion on gas so far this year compared to the same period last year, according to AAA. And meanwhile, the Auto Club did its own survey. They found that 55% of Americans say they're more likely to take a road trip right now rather than wait because of lower gas prices. I think the prices have been pretty reasonable.
I think that's delightful. Yeah. People will get out there and see this country.
Yeah. So you could have some little differences, they say, because of this rebalance of supply and demand. And then there was that big fire we talked about last week in Alberta, Canada, which had a more direct impact on consumers in Indiana and Michigan because it took out the living quarters of a lot of workers near the Canadian oil sands, which halted production and resulted in the loss of about 1 billion barrels a day. Most of that went to Indiana and the Michigan area. So there may be a higher spike in Michigan and Indiana because of it, but work will resume shortly and prices there will drop. And overall, it is supposed to be a great year for gas prices. So all that is good news for our viewers. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Aldi, A-L-D-E, the only name in heat that you need to know for your RV. The Aldi Hydronic System brings many features and benefits that you can't find with any other product. For one thing, you'll love the heat with the Aldi system. It is a silent heat. It is a radiant heat. It gives you this warm, even, natural, heated interior. And humans love it. Pets love it. But the options that you can get with this heat, it's kind of like the high-end heat you get in homes, you know, baseboard heat, radiant heat. Well, you have that now in your RV. But our favorite option
is the heated floor.
Now, we use that coming down, and it turned quite cold in Tennessee over the weekend.
And the heated floor was a luxury.
I mean, we popped it. We came back. It was a Saturday night. We came back from the Grand Ole Opry, and boy, it was really chilly out. It was down in the upper 40s, low 50s. So we popped on our Aldi heat. And
we had heated floors. And since I have Raynaud's, which 10% of all women have, my feet are quite cold. And it's delightful to have a heated floor.
And I don't have it, but I just walked around barefoot on it. It was so comfortable. And then, there was not that dry heat, that you get with forced air. The Aldi system is really efficient. It draws less than 1 amp on 12 volts DC and extends the life of your propane about 40% over regular forced air. So you will love it. It's great. Aldi, A-L-D-E. It's the only name you need to know when choosing a heating system for your RV.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
Okay, time to check in with our pal from Verizon, Steve Van Dinter. Steve is kind of our tech guru now for this section, and he has all sorts of cool things. Hey, Steve, welcome.
Well, thanks, Mike. I know your listeners are always on the go, so today I've got a suggestion that could help make their travel even easier, a smartwatch. You might be asking yourself, why in the world would I need a smartwatch? But once you have one, you can't imagine life without it. In fact, I recently got my mom the Moto 360 watch, and she just told me yesterday she is loving it. With a smartwatch, you get access to all the information available to you on your smartphone, but with the freedom of not having to carry around a larger device. Looking for directions, the nearest gas station, or maybe to set a reminder? Well, you just lift your wrist and ask your watch. Maybe you'd like a dinner suggestion or to learn about some popular points of interest along the way. Well, you guessed it, it's all available on your wrist. Not only that, but you get notifications of your emails and text messages and can even respond via voice. Now, talk about convenience. And here's more good news. Motorola smartwatches are Verizon's accessory of the month, meaning all models are $50 off online or at any Verizon store. Well, here's a great gift idea for your dad or maybe a grad on your list. And while you're at it, Mike, you may want to pick one up for yourself. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Steve Van Dinter from Verizon.
What's this? I may want to pick up one of these myself.
You were one of the first to have it.
I have. This is, I'm on my second smartwatch now. The first one was the Apple Watch, the iPhone Apple Watch, and I got that. I wasn't going to get it, and then I saw a bunch of people that had it, and I said, okay, I got to get it. And I'm not really that happy with it. I quit wearing it a couple of months ago. For one thing, the font on the screen is too small to easily look at. It'll give you notifications and... I just didn't like the way it worked, and it didn't work. So when I picked up this new Android phone that Steve Van Dinter turned me onto, this new Android Samsung S7 Edge, loved this phone. They had a great special on the Samsung Gear 2, which is Samsung's second iteration of a smartwatch, and that one I am loving this thing. For one thing, it lets you. The font is bigger. When you get your notifications, I've got it set so if I get an email, I can look to see basically what it's about. My messaging, I can see. And like the Apple phone, you can answer phones on it. You can answer phone calls with it. You can text with it. It recognizes your voice. All these smartwatches do this, and that's pretty neat. But what I like about it is I can leave my phone in my pocket. I don't have to pull it out. I can just glance at my wrist. And you're not seeing me use my phone nearly as much when we're at
I've been wondering what's happening because I see your phone left places.
Yeah, I'm getting it all on my wrist now.
Well, that's great. That's much better.
Yeah, so check it out. And as Steve said, they got a brand new one from Motorola. And you can see this at any Verizon store that's out there. There's lots of them, retail communications all across the country. You know, the other thing I like about this smartwatch is that it'll read your heartbeat, and it will tell you how many steps I've taken today. So I haven't taken many this morning because you've had me running around. We've been hanging at the beach, but 1,544 steps.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stand up, and it'll tell me my schedule. It tells me the weather forecast, the temperature. I like the way it works. It will measure my heart. My heartbeat right now, because I'm sitting next to you, is 81 beats per minute.
That's not very high.
No, it's not very high. Well, touch my knee. There we go. Whoa, look at that. Anyway, it's great. So I'm loving my smartwatch. And I like this better than I like the Apple Watch. And I'm a big Apple fan, so don't get me wrong. I'm not being unfaithful to Apple. But I like the Samsung Gear 2 watch. And I haven't seen this Motorola, but it's a special of the week. And you got your special of the month. You got to check that out. Verizon is the official tech sponsor for the Road Trekking RV podcast. It's all we use. As this tech podcast gets uploaded, it will be uploaded over the Verizon network to my servers for the podcast. I use this to do, yesterday was my NBC TV day. I shot my NBC video and sent that over my Verizon network to the NBC servers. I mean, you know how big video files are. I use the Verizon Jetpack data card. I have a 4G LTE connection pretty much anywhere I go. I could not work from the road, and that's one of the reasons we can travel so much is because we have Verizon, and I love that Jetpack. My computer's online right now. I'm using that for research and notes as we record the podcast. Jennifer's is on, and we'll use it, as we said, if you do the research when you're choosing a system for your online travel, what are you going to use to manage your online life when you're on the RV road? You'll see Verizon has ranked the highest in all of the major network studies, network quality, network performance, network satisfaction, always the highest. You can't go by. And if you're stuck on the wrong network, head over to Verizon. They got all these specials where customers who make a switch to Verizon from another one can get lots of stuff that, lots of little perks that make it really worthwhile to go. They're the official technology sponsors of the Road Trekking RV podcast. Thank you, Verizon.
What's on your RV bucket list? Maybe the place Mike has for you now on this week's Road Trekking Destination of the Week.
Well, our destination of the week is where we just came from, Nashville, Tennessee. And we've been there many times before, but this is the first time we ever did it as an RV thing, and that was all your fault.
It was my fault, and I think I enjoyed it. I enjoyed camping there versus staying in a hotel room. And what can I say? Other than it was fun, I think it was fun because we met some nice people. That's what made it fun.
It was interesting because we've often debated, do we want to tell people where we are? We've had a couple of experiences where there's been sort of like stalkers, you know, nothing bad. But, you know, people say, well, you better be careful. You shouldn't announce it. We've had nothing but good experience. Everybody we've met has been great. But people got me warning, well, maybe you shouldn't tell. But this time we decided, let's tell. And I am so glad you came up with that idea because it was your idea on the podcast a few weeks ago. You said, hey, let's stop in Nashville. Let's go to the Grand Ole Opry and let's tell other people we're going and see who shows up. And we had several different RV groupers, group people show up. We had a single solo traveler, a female, a woman, who you're going to meet in a minute. Our friend Jeff Martiga, who uses his RV to enhance his photography pursuit. He's an excellent photographer. He showed up. We had fun with Jeff. And we met a couple of other couples that were in the RV traveling across the road. And I'm going to introduce you to two of those groups anyway in just a couple of minutes, a short recap of them. But what do you do in Nashville? Well, we stayed at the KOA on Music Center Road.
And that was convenient to the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, they have a shuttle that runs not only the Grand Ole Opry, but a shuttle that runs downtown. And so we did that. We all went, I think it was $10 a head, and you went downtown. They dropped you off in front of the Ryman Auditorium, which was a big music performance center. And we went up and down Broadway. We had lunch, and I bought myself a pair of cowboy boots, excellent cowboy boots.
And if it hadn't been for one of our new friends, you wouldn't have bought those boots.
Yep, that's true. That's true. If it hadn't been for Cindy Larson, who was with us, and you'll meet Cindy in a minute. Cindy is that retired missionary that I was telling you about. She had a pair of, she picked up in Texas, but she gave us a hint on the best brand to get, and lo and behold, we found it in Nashville.
And you found them extremely comfortable.
I have very difficult feet to fit, and they did. But we had a good time. You know, none of us were real wild party people. The Broadway, which is kind of reminded me a lot of New Orleans. Everybody was on the street. There were lots of bachelor and bachelorette parties, and it was pretty raucous even on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be there in the evening, I don't think.
No, but it was worth seeing. And
just because I'm not a party animal.
And then we came back to the KOA campground, and we hung out for a while, and then we went to the Grand Ole Opry, and that we would recommend to anybody. It's kind of an American icon. It's been around for 90 years.
That was the second time we've attended that.
Yep, and it's a lot of people don't realize that it is still a live radio show. And I love it. They have entertainment. It's the longest running live radio show in the country, and it's a stage show. Every major country and Western star you can think of in 90 years have appeared there, and we really enjoyed it because they had lots of they had people from 16 to 70. They had square dancers and cloggers. In fact, one of the cloggers was 70 years old. And he announced his retirement.
After 50 years of dancing, the Grand Ole Opry.
And, I mean, this is really aggressive dancing, that clogging and square dancing. Anyway, we got to hear him, and a lot of old-time favorites, and a couple of young, I think the youngest performer was 16. And we would recommend that to anybody, the Grand Ole Opry. It was really a lot of fun. And then Sunday, after we left there, we stopped at the Hermitage.
I'm so glad I talked you into doing that. I twisted your little arm because we were trying to decide between two different places, and I'm glad we went to the home of Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson, probably one of the most, he was kind of like the Donald Trump of his era. He was an everyman. His whole thing was he represented the little guy. That was his whole thing, and he's very outspoken. He was a brawler. The man was involved reportedly in numerous duels. In one of the duels, he was shot and a bullet embedded above his heart. He went around all of his life with that. He ended up shooting and killing the guy that he was dueling with. The guy had insulted his wife. So I guess it's good that Trump and Ted Cruz didn't get that far along in their stuff. But the history of this whole place was amazing. And this was in the early 1800s. They call him Old Hickory. He was a war hero, and on his grave it's just General Jackson. But, you know, learning our history, a lot of controversy because he was a slaveholder. He owned 150 slaves in the early 1800s, and that was part of that culture and that time he came out. Doesn't make it right, but the history and the Hermitage treats that with a great deal of respect and calls it with what it was. The enslaving human beings is never to be condoned. There was some archaeological work, and you learned a little bit of the life of many of the slaves that were there, and you learned Alexander Hamilton the musical, which is something else I want to see. But Andrew Jackson, you learned a lot about his life. And I would recommend the Hermitage. It's privately owned, and it's a well-maintained mansion that he has outside of Nashville.
And Mary and Chris encouraged us to go there.
Yep.
Some of our new friends.
A couple of our new friends. Well, I guess it's confession time, because I interviewed some of these folks that we were with this weekend at an extensive interview for the podcast. And then yesterday, as I was preparing for this podcast, I looked, and on the memory card that I recorded podcast, I noticed all these other files, these audio files. And because I used that to record this podcast, I erased them.
And I had a grumpy husband this morning.
And then I realized I erased these interviews with these three different groups of people that we were with. So what do I do? Because I had promised, we did a live report from Nashville for Facebook. I promised, you'd hear more of them on the podcast. So what I've done is I've gone back in, I've taken this live Facebook report, and I've just sort of edited that down. And just to give you a quick introduction to two different groups of the people we are with this weekend, we'll hear, we'll do an extensive interview with Jeff next month. He'll be with us in the Smoky Mountains, and Cindy Larson will be there as well. And then Mary and our other friends from Colorado that we introduced, Mary and Chris, we'll interview them. They'll be at our group meeting in Porcupine Mountains in the fall. So we'll get them all recorded again, and I won't erase those files. But here's a quick little introduction to some of the people that we hung out with in Nashville. And again, that's our bucket list destination. Give it a try. It's a great place to go for a weekend. You get there on a Friday and you can leave on a Sunday, and I think you'll find it a very friendly town, easy to get around. We loved that KOA right there at Music Center Drive.
It was convenient.
But right now I'm going to introduce you to Cindy Larson, and then I'll let the other couple introduce themselves. And here's just a few minutes, a couple, 3 minutes of some of the folks that we spent the weekend and what their thoughts were. Meet Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi there.
Cindy, you have a great background. You have, tell us what you have, and you're a full-timer.
I'm a full-timer soloing. I came back from Uganda in January and had to decide whether to buy a house and furniture and a car or buy a road trek, and I'm so happy I bought my road trek.
Now, you said Uganda. You were a missionary in Uganda for how long?
Missionary for 7 years.
For 7 years, and you did your research online from Uganda, right?
At night, because it got dark at 7 o'clock and got light at 7 o'clock the next day, I had a lot of time to do research. So for about 2 years, I looked and I listened and I asked questions, and it was the positive response from the group on Facebook and their advice and their concern that let me decide to buy my road trip.
Yeah, so you Facebook people out there, this has really been a big help. Introduce yourselves and tell us where you're from.
Hi, I'm Chris Smith, my wife.
Mary.
And you guys are from?
Erie, Colorado, just outside of Boulder.
Yeah, and you are relatively new road trekkers, right?
This is our second year.
How did this come about for you?
Well, we were in jobs we were not real happy with. We're getting near the end of our career, and we started
researching, and we saw Mike's posts on his Facebook's pages, and
yeah, we'd had our fill of tent camping, and one hellacious storm up a pass up at Steamboat Springs, and we were ready to do something a little different. And Mary wanted a van with a bed in the back, and I knew there was something a little bit more than that. And so we did our research, and we hooked up with Road Trek, and we couldn't be happier. We were just having a blast.
You've been on the road for how long?
We left this year, March 4th. We've been on the road for 60-some days. Last year, we did 125 days, and, you know, there's so much to see. It's just such an amazing country. And I tell you, when we go into campgrounds, road trekkers are the best. Being able to just walk up to somebody and say, hey, road trekker, you get a great conversation going, and as Cindy said, you know, the forums and the help that we've gotten from Facebook, and again, the Wendlands were a big help in getting us pointed in this direction, so we couldn't be happier.
Now, you guys, and we'll hear more from you on the podcast as well, but tell me about Nashville. What did you do in Nashville? We saw you downtown out of all those honky-tonks.
Well, we also went and saw the Capitol. We're big history buffs, so we like to do the Capitol. The Hermitage is here in Nashville, where Andrew Jackson's home was. And, you know, downtown Nashville, like Cindy said, it's Nashville. It's funky. It's honky-tonk. It must be wedding season, because all the crazy bachelorettes and their parties are running around. And
did you notice that they all had cowboy boots on?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We're wearing our Colorado cowboy boots. They're called Keens.
Yeah, look at this. Let's get at what they're wearing here.
Yeah, see, this is, there you go.
Now that's what you're supposed to wear in Nashville.
I want to compare my feet with Mike's tomorrow after a day of new cowboy boots.
Yeah. I think you have it. Well, hey, thanks, guys. Let's see. Phyllis Humphrey says, I wish we could be there. We will be there in 2 weeks. Well, you're going to love it, Phyllis. It's a great place.
And that was our interview recorded live for Facebook Live. You can see the whole interview, and you can see these people. I'll put a link under the show notes part of this section. Just scroll down to the bucket list part on the show notes, roadtrekking.com/88. You can meet these people. I'll do the the interview that I erased, I'll redo those as we hook up with these folks around the country. And that's just something I think we're going to try and do as we travel a lot this country, is just kind of do stories from the road and interview the people that we meet, because we meet so many great people.
And I think I'm going to start asking people a tip that they would like to share, something that they learned that they would like to pass on that'll make traveling easier.
Yeah, you can put that in your tip of the week. Yeah.
I'd like to do that.
And kind of like share the whole community. Well, that was fun. Hey, this part of the podcast brought to you by my favorite app. It is the only app you need to know if you are an RVer. Works on all the major platforms. The app is called AllStays. AllStays, A-L-L-S-T-A-Y-S. It is the Internet's number one RV and camping app. Has been since 2010. Listen, this is the headquarters for all of your RV traveling information. They have everything that you possibly want to know on these apps. The Camp and RV app is the number one camping app, has been, like I said, since 2010. All the data stored inside the app, so you get speed, you get constant information. Even if you range out of cell phone range sometimes, your app has got all that data with it. Almost any place you are in the country, they'll find whatever you want. You can filter your searches. You can find RV dump sites. You can find boondocking spots where you can stay for free. You can find campgrounds that are Good Sam discount cards. You can find any kind of campground, state forest campgrounds. It's all right there. List of camping spots of every single kind, private resorts, county parks, side pull-offs in the forest, whatever you want. I love this app. You can find Walmarts that allow camping. You can find Cracker Barrels. They also let you stay there, and they'll even tell you what side of the building the parking spots are. You can read reviews from the site. You just want to get that. And then if you go to their website, allstays.com, and look at the options for the AllStays Pro feature, this is kind of a subscription feature for those that prefer computers and their bigger screens. It works in your web browser. Awesome place. AllStays, it is simply the best camping app you'll ever find. We are delighted to have them as a sponsor of the podcast.
Traveling North America in a Class B motorhome. This has been Road Trekking the Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for next week? Click the send voicemail link on the roadtrekking.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there. Road Trekking. Road Trekking.
All right, and so ends another episode of Road Trekking, the RV podcast. I want to thank you so much for being a part of the program this week. All of the information that we shared on this, it can be heard and can be linked to. Find the resources we talked about on our show notes page. That is at roadtrekking.com/88. I also want to do some encouragement. As Jennifer suggested, we love to hear your voices. So please use that leave voicemail link on the right-hand part of the roadtrekking.com blog. You can record from your smartphone or from your tablet or your computer. It uses the built-in microphone there. And you can do it over and over until you're happy, and then just hit send, and it will send me an audio file, which we can then use on the podcast. And all of us can share together the various things that make the RV lifestyle so much fun. And we'd also love to get your questions and answer them as well. Thank you again for being here. Every Wednesday, there's a brand new episode of this coming out. We encourage you to subscribe, and then you'll get a notice on your app every time a new one's out, or just go to roadtrekking.com every Wednesday morning. Be sure and be a part of our Facebook page. Links to all that stuff and different ways you can stay informed, including our weekly newsletter, is available at roadtrekking.com. Till next week, on behalf of Jennifer, thanks so much for putting us in your ear this week. Bye-bye, everybody.